This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on equipping and energizing teen workers with Larry Chapel. Larry Chapel grew up at Lancaster Baptist Church and is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College. He now serves as the Student Ministries Director at Lancaster Baptist Church and produces the ministry's live stream.
When you think you can do it all yourself, when you think you can do it all yourself, you kill the momentum. When you try to carry out youth ministry with a lone ranger mentality that I'm going to do everything, you're going to frustrate yourself into the ground, you're going to frustrate your family into the ground, and you're not going to be effective. So abandon that mentality that man, I could do this, I got this. And sometimes, especially, I have friends of mine who have smaller youth groups. They think, my youth group's small, I don't need anybody to help. And I don't think that's necessarily true, okay? Different personalities, different leaders will reach different teens. Some of our youth leaders who teach other grades, man, they connect with teens that I don't connect with, but then they come to my class and I'll connect with teens that they didn't connect with. And so it doesn't matter if you've got a youth group of 10 people. You need to start to build that team and abandon that mentality that I'm going to do it all myself. In addition to that, if there's frankly no one there to help you, you still have a pastor. If you're married, you have a spouse that's on his team, and you have a parent. So there's a little team building right there. So don't have this mentality that you can do it all yourself. There's some benefits to having a healthy youth team. First of all, there's a better quality of ministry. You have more time devoted to your tasks. And I don't think these are in your notes. I'm just going to read through these real quick. When you develop the team, the quality of ministry goes up. Next, you have a better capacity, a bigger capacity, okay? More people can minister to more teens. Then you can do it more efficiently. And then it increases longevity because rather than one guy doing everything, there's a few guys who have split the responsibilities up. And there's tons of benefit. You have more fun working with other people. You can partner with them. You can labor with them. You can make memories. It's no fun staying at church by yourself till midnight to the last kid, you know, whose parents slept in, forgot to come and pick him up, you know. It's much fun. It's way more fun to be there with a couple other people. But when you think you can do it all yourself, just abandon that. That'll be a momentum killer. If you are new to youth ministry, or you've been in youth ministry by yourself for a while, I would look to add someone to help you. The fix is this. Invite the right people to serve alongside of you. Invite the right people to serve alongside of you. And let me tell you this. It's okay to be picky when choosing who will serve with you, okay? They don't have to be perfect, but you want to make sure that they've got the character and they've got the walk with God and they've got the time. And so invite someone to serve alongside of you. Third momentum killer is this. When you don't value those who volunteer their time. When you don't value those who volunteer their time. Okay? One more time. When you don't value those who volunteer their time. Okay? So the first momentum killer is that you're just not into it. You're not feeling it. You don't have the passion. The second momentum killer is you have the passion, but you're all alone. And there's plenty of well-intentioned people that love the Lord, love teens. They've got their PowerPoint on Wednesday night. They got everything together, but they're by themselves. So they have the passion, but then they're alone. So add some people to help, but then don't ignore them when you add the volunteers. When you don't value those who volunteer your time, their time, you kill the momentum. And I think sometimes we inadvertently we recruit people to student ministry and then we ignore them. And I've done this from time to time. I've invited someone to come and serve in student ministry and not really given them tools, not really equipped them, not really trained them. And I could tell there was a family we added last year, and they were brand new. And we sat down with them. We went through the whole process as far as background checks and everything so they can work with students in our ministry. And I never really gave them a job or a function after that. I told them a class and where to be. And I passed them every Sunday morning in the hallways. And they were just like standing there awkwardly. And I'm like, shook their hand. some weeks I shook their hand, and like the third or fourth week, I ignored them because it was too awkward. But every time I thought, I never gave them something to do, and they don't know what to do. So I went and talked to the Sunday school teacher. I'm like, hey, have this man, give him, his job is to pass out bulletins and make sure it's super important to him that every teen gets a bulletin. It's not just the job, because they'll know if you just gave them busy work to do. Tell them how important it is to take those bulletins and to pass it out. But value those who volunteer their time. So I think sometimes we ignore them. And then I think other times we don't value them because we think that youth workers exist for our benefit. Okay? Run and get me this. Do this. Tell that kid to shut up. Take that kid out. Talk to that kid's mom. And then if we're not careful, we can look at youth workers as our little minions. You know, they're going to go do this and do that and talk to all the kids that we don't want to talk to. Do all the dirty job. That is the complete opposite of healthy student ministry. Volunteers, workers, youth leaders do not exist for our benefit. We exist for their benefit, okay? We ought to focus more on edifying the saints in the church than entertaining teenagers. I think if we're not careful, we can come up with programs to entertain teens on a weekly basis, and we're not edifying the saints and the co-laborers and the people that the Lord has brought into the ministry. So what's the fix? Intentionally express your appreciation throughout the year. Make it known to them that what they do is vital and important to the health of the student ministry. Take time to express thanks and let them know. And don't just give them lip service. Don't say, yeah, you're great, and then not give them anything to do. Truly value them, because you're going to plateau in what you can do. You're going to reach a limit, and you're not going to be able to carry out effective ministry. You truly do need them. So value them and value their time. Number four, fourth momentum killer. When the youth workers are not sure what is expected of them. One of the things I learned early on in student ministry working with teens is that it's way easier to get up in front of a bus at a youth activity and tell all the teens, can't listen to that, can't do that, can't touch that. Because when they do that, you can go and correct them and say, did you not hear me in there? Because I remember my first few youth activities, like, okay, everyone, no, there's some rules, but I can't think of them. Let's be good. Load the bus, you know? And then you're going to seat by seat. I know I didn't say that, but that is a rule, and you're breaking it right now. You're holding your girlfriend's hand, and you're listening to rap music, and you're smoking pot, all three of those. You can't do that. Those are all against the rules. And I know I should have told you that earlier, but I forgot to, okay? It's much easier if you get up in front, and you guys know this, leading you through. Here's what you don't do, because when they do it, you can go and let them know, hey, this is what was expected of you. And I really believe that the same principles carry out over to our student ministry leaders, okay? When we invite someone to come and serve on our student ministry staff as a volunteer and even as a paid staff as well, they are given some responsibilities and some roles. And here are the things that are expected of you, okay? We want you to make visits. We want you to spend time, and we're gracious about it. You know, we have guys that work late shifts, we're not sticklers on this and confronting people because they miss one Tuesday night of soul winning. But we let them know generally, here's what we expect, and here's our expectations. Let them know what's expected of them. I don't know about you, but I like it when someone tells me what someone expects of me. So don't be afraid. If you have someone that's come, don't be afraid to pull them aside to mentor them and to model the lifestyle that you're asking them to follow. So let them know what is expected of them. What is the fix here? How can you fix this momentum killer? Annually teach youth workers roles and responsibilities. Annually teach youth workers roles and responsibility. We have some of our volunteer lay people in our church who've been helping in student ministry for a long time. Brother Delaney would know, like many of the youth workers who have just been there, and they've been faithful. And the first few times we had a youth meeting with these faithful members, I mean, these are guys who have been serving in student ministry for 20 years, I get the whole notes, roles, responsibility, and think, I want to tell you guys, oh, wait, you already know that. Never mind. I'll tell you, no, you know that. You guys are good, you know? And I skip everything. I don't want to tell them anything because I'm like, I have the assumption that they already know it. Let me tell you this. We need to be reminded. I need to be running. I'm telling you, with every point of this lesson, I wrote it to me, and I had a little altar call, and I repented before I taught it, because I need this. And you know, you need it as well, okay? I'm not the only one up here. We need to be reminded of these things. So when we don't value volunteers' time, when we don't let youth workers know what is expected of them. Number five. When the resources needed are not provided. When the resources needed are not provided. Okay? Now, I visited a church one time where for their junior high student ministry, they had a monster truck. Okay? That was one of the things that they had as a prop. You probably know what I'm talking about. They had a prop in front of their church building. Okay? That's probably not the resources we're talking about right now. But what I do want to talk about, and I'll list a few of them real quick. The tools needed for them to effectively minister. Okay, I'm talking about the basics. They need a roster. They need to know who's in their class. They need curriculum. We provide our teachers with a curriculum schedule, and we ask at least twice a year, how are you doing on the schedule? And we find out from them, this stuff works and this doesn't, and I found this. Can you improve this? We give our student ministry leaders postcards so they can write, we missed you. It says on the back, we missed you. We tell them, if you write the postcard, bring it to church, we'll mail it. I heard one of our student ministry leaders talking, and he said, I wish we had a devotional, a teen devotional. We used to have one, and then we canceled the subscription a long time ago. But I heard him say, I wish we had those again. So those made great visits. You could take that to a teen to make visits. So I heard that, and I asked one of the secretaries to find out, how much is that? And it was just a few bucks a month. So we bought those so that one guy could have devotionals to take to the teens. But learn to be a facilitator. Learn to anticipate the needs of others and your youth workers, and then facilitate those needs. I think of, and this is a bad illustration because they barely made the playoffs this year, but Kobe Bryant this past season watched about every single game, and it was frustrating. There was a few weeks in the middle of the season where Kobe Bryant decided that he was going to become Mr. Steve Nash, you know, and he was going to dish out a lot of assists, okay? Because what had happened is he was scoring 40-plus points a game, and they were still losing, okay? So then he decided, and it worked for a little while, and then it stopped working, but the illustration still applies. He decided to facilitate and to make his teammates successful and to give them the ball, a novel idea for Kobe to actually pass the ball. And that's what Kobe decided to do, pass the ball and to facilitate others and let them get some wins under the belt. Be a facilitator. Find out, especially if you got laymen in your church that are busy, working jobs, commuting, set them, load the bases for them and let them hit the grand slam, okay? Set up the appointment with them. Tell them, hey, you should probably go with this team, and oh, you should probably take this book to him, and you should do this, and facilitate that ministry. Allow that to take place, and that's healthy all the way around. Let's see here. I had a couple examples if this will work. Let's see here. One of the things we hand out, I'm trying to think as we get a little further on this lesson of things that might illustrate what I'm talking about, but here's one of the things, and let me just say this. Resources, they could be the most valuable resources you can give your student ministry leaders are free, okay? It doesn't have to be fancy this, fancy that, expensive that. Just give them information. Give them, set them up with appointments and stuff. This is, we call this our weekly snapshot. We started this a few months ago. And this is something that gets mailed out every week to our student ministry leaders. Volunteer, paid staff, doesn't matter. They all get this weekly snapshot. This tells them who visited that week, how many in their class were absent in a one-week period of time, two-week absentees, and three-week absentees. And we had a meeting with our leaders, and we said, visit your visitors every week. That's what's expected of them. If you have a visitor, visit them. If you can't, let us know, and we'll visit them. The one-week absentees, just be aware that they missed. And sometimes it's good. You read through this list, and then you see these kids passing through the hallway. Hey, where were you Sunday? You know? I'll have teens that don't come to my class on Sunday, and I'm worried about my lesson. I don't even know they weren't there. But then I'll see this list. I'm like, you're kidding me. They weren't there. And so I'll be able to talk to them. Then two-week absentees. We ask our leaders to send a phone call or write a note at 2 weeks and say, hey, man, I missed you. 3 weeks, make a personal visit. And you can make a personal visit even on the 1 week if you want to. But this is just something else. This is a tool. This is us equipping our youth leaders. This is what you're supposed to do. So there's no question in their mind. And when they come on a Tuesday night to go soul winning, they don't have to wonder, who should I visit? We've given them the resources to do that. So provide the resources. Let's see here. When the resources needed are not provided, you kill the momentum. So listen for the needs and respond. And it doesn't mean you have to buy everything that someone wants, but you can at least respond. And at the very least, you can say, hey, that's a great idea, and I understand where you're coming from. Maybe we'll get to it later. So respond. Number six we're on. When you fail to effectively plan in advance, you kill momentum. When you fail to effectively plan in advance, you kill momentum. The fix is this. Regularly set aside time for big picture planning. Set aside time for big picture planning. I'm going to pull up something else here. One of the things that we've had to learn, and I'm not a great planner, but one of the things that not just our student ministry staff, but every staff here at Lancaster Baptist has had to learn how to do is just plan long term. And let me see here. This is one of the programs we use is Evernote. And some of you guys are familiar with Evernote, but we went through at the beginning of the year and we planned every single Bible study, what we were doing, what we were teaching, if we weren't having it, why weren't we having it? There's youth conference that week. Went and planned through all the Bible studies for the rest of the year. Shows us where we are right now, what series we're planning to do, the dates that we don't have them. And we got these on the calendar early, and we let other ministries know this is where we're planning to meet, this is what we're planning to do. We did the same with our youth outreach. We have youth outreach on Saturday that Trevor leads up, and we've gone through the year, and we've outlined the dates that we wouldn't have it and why we wouldn't have it. The dates this summer, we have our Teen Soul Winning Blitz. The dates we've had our youth workers meeting. We try to get that all there in advance. When you fail to communicate, when you fail to plan in advance, you're really just shooting yourself in the foot. And you know what? This lets our youth leaders know too. We'll take these documents and we'll pass out to our teen parents and to our youth workers. Here's our big events. Don't miss this. Don't miss teen camp. We sent our first email out in November to let the parents know when our teen camp was. So when you fail to effectively plan in advance, you kill momentum. All right. Let's see what else we got. Okay, number seven, when you fail to communicate on a regular basis. If there's one area in ministry I really have to work at, it's communication. I can sometimes live in a bubble. You guys know what I'm talking about? You're just kind of doing your own thing for an extended period of time. And that's not healthy in any situation, but especially when you're leading a team of people. Okay, you have to be there. You have to be there for them. So when you fail to communicate on a regular basis, you kill the momentum. Okay. So one of the things that we've done, and this is, I believe you guys have this, we give out every week our weekly communique, and we've done this for years. And this is just our weekly. Hey, we got to touch base. And what we've done, we've moved our student ministry meetings with all of our paid staff, all of our volunteers. We meet on Wednesday nights once a month. And we make that a big priority. We really try to get everyone to be there. But weekly, we email them this communique. We ask them to read through it, to keep in touch. And weekly communication. There has to be weekly communication between you and your youth leaders. If it's just one guy, you know, send them a text. Hey, we're doing this. We're not doing that. And the communication's got to be both ways. Then you've got to have times where I really believe you got a monthly gathering where you can get everyone together and just kind of chart the course for the next couple months. And then you've got to have those big annual training meetings. So you kill the momentum when you fail to communicate properly. Number eight, when you fall into the rut of doing the same things year after year, you kill momentum. There's a phrase my dad, I don't know if he coined it or he just started using it a few years ago, and he's told our staff to avoid template ministry. Avoid template ministry. Because it's easy to get an activity that works or an event that works, and then the year rolls around 1 year later, like, what do we do? Well, that was great last year. And I still have the artwork, you know, and we still have this banner, and we didn't put the year on it. Yes, you know, we can use this again for this year. And I understand there's a point to where that's okay. I believe Josh Ermler told me one time that he sits down with his staff and they try to change at least 25% of everything they do from year after year. Even if they had a great event 1 year, they try to change 25% of that event or activity. I think that's a good practice to do. But don't fall into the rut of doing things year after year after year, because you'll kill momentum. And I remember the time that sticks out in my mind more than any other time was when we had an ice skating activity, and the ice skating rink canceled on us, and we had to come up with a last minute idea. So we had a bonfire out on a ball field, and we brought out a projector, we watched a movie. Like, everyone was great. It actually worked out. It was like one of our best activities of the year. We had Christmas music, Rudolph playing on a projector. We had the bonfire just right in the middle, bought tons of wood right in the middle of the baseball field. And then we went roller skating. And it was great. The next year rolled around, and we're like, let's do it again. It was the worst activity of the whole year. And it was great the year before, and it was terrible this year, but we just copied it. We didn't put any work, any thought into it. So avoid template ministry. I'll give you a couple examples of ways I think that we've done that this year. Two things. We had for years our Strive offering, and our Strive offering was our annual offering to give to in correspondence with the church offering, the main church offering, and we called it our Strive offering. And honestly, Strive was a big success year after year after year. But we got to the point where we were using it for two decades in a row, and we lost momentum because year after year after year, we got up, we'd announce the Strive offering, and the kids, they could tell us what Strive was all about, and they could collect commitment cards from us. They've heard it so many times. So we kicked off our advance offering, and this year we had 13,000 given. I think it was the correct number, 13,000 given in our advance offering, and we stepped it up. If I'm thinking correctly, I think we doubled what our offering was. But we didn't just change the name. We changed everything about it. We sat down and we planned, and we thought through what are some things we can do. We used Instagram. We got some cool testimonies. We had one night we had a can and coin offering out in our gym where we told them, just bring coins and bring cans. And we had almost $1,000 given that night in a can and coin offering. We had a car. The can and coin offering, it was neat too. This one kid came and brought like three bags of Budweiser cans. And we're like, we'll take them. We'll recycle them, you know. And I thought that was kind of funny. But so we had a can and coin offering. We had a car wash. But those are all things that we hadn't done the year before. And next year, we might use some of this, but we got to come up with a way to change a little bit, or it's going to die. We're going to lose momentum. So that was one thing we did. The other thing we just kicked off just recently was we call it our Surge Summer Discipleship Program. And I tried to track down some handouts, but we had given them all away. But this is something that we kicked out. We've had some form of discipleship throughout the year, but we'd fallen into that template ministry rut. And so we created what we called our Summer Surge, and we put together a program, and everything was brand new to the teens, and we kicked it off, and we're praying that will carry some momentum. But avoid that template ministry. Don't fall into the rut of doing the same things year after year after year. And let's think in context of what we're talking about right now. We're talking about youth leaders, okay? Tell me how exciting it is as a youth leader to announce the same thing year after year after year. It's not very fun, okay? Give them the tools. Give them something exciting to promote, something to sink their teeth into, something that they can go. Now, with this program, when the teens submit their accountability card, they do it online, and their accountability card will get emailed to their teacher. Again, we're just giving them the resources to make those good contacts. So our teachers will receive the accountability forms from the teens. That's something great to talk about. You guys, some of you understand that some student ministry leaders, especially volunteer leaders, sometimes they don't even know what to talk about. You have to tell them what to talk about on a visit. This is something great that you can talk about on a visit. So when you do the same things year after year, you kill momentum. What's the fix? Discipline yourself to plan creatively. if you need to, enlist the help of others. Discipline yourself to plan creatively. If you need to, enlist the help of others. And one of the things we did, our youth staff, we started going to Starbucks because that helps us to be more creative and come in our ideas. So we've moved our student ministry meetings once a month to Starbucks. But plan creatively. And if you don't, our advance offering, one of our secretaries came with that. She's since gotten married, moved away, but she came up with the name advance offering. She's enlist the help of someone creative. If you're not creative, look at another ministry and how they're doing things well and talk to someone who maybe is, but discipline yourself to that creative process. Next, number 9. We'll hit these and we're done. When you don't take time to evaluate the efficiency of your team, you kill the momentum. When you don't take time to evaluate the efficiency of your team, you kill the momentum. What's the fix? Create a culture of evaluation. Evaluate everything personally. As you walk around on Sundays, ask yourself, how would a visitor see this? How are we doing in this? How is this teacher doing in this area? Adapt that evaluation mindset and just stick with it and stay with it. And then one of the things that we've done is, as we plan, we got another page here we've pulled as an example. I mentioned we use Evernote, and here's one of our planning sheets that came from Evernote, our California Day activity. And you can see here the dates, the meeting location, the cost. And we moved all this stuff to Evernote because it changes a little bit. So with this being in Evernote, if one person changes, it changes in all our devices. So if a parent asks us, what time are we supposed to meet? We can pull it up on our phone, and everyone's on the same information. We put in there our driver's list, who we had confirmed to drive and who would be riding the buses. Some of our major to-dos there we sign out in those meetings. Communication, and then on the very back, this is what I wanted to show you. We created a post-event follow-up, and right under that, the activity snapshot. We put the number of how many teams we had, how many workers we had, how many buses we needed. And we kind of evaluate, do we have enough? Do we need more? Budget notation there. And then right under that, comments for next year, things that we should do differently. And after every event, every activity, and our student ministry leaders, we evaluate. And if that's you and your wife on the way home after an activity, you know, saying, how did we do? That didn't work. And be honest with each other. That didn't work. What can we do differently? But here's the key too. A lot can happen over the course of a year and you can forget it. You have to put that in a place where you can come back and remember it and where that evaluation is actually useful. So frequently evaluate your ministry. So when you don't take time to evaluate, you lose momentum. Last thing, and this one, I didn't know where this one fits, so I just put it last because it's kind of funny to me. When you simply just don't get along with someone you serve alongside of, you kill momentum, okay? I don't know if this is applicable to anyone, but you'll, from time to time, work with people that maybe they wouldn't be your best friend if you were to choose one. Maybe you don't get along with them as well as you do other people. Maybe you inherited a student ministry and the previous youth pastor picked a moron to serve in student ministry. And you're like, what was he thinking? You know, and you can't go in there right away and just give him the axe. You know, what's the fix? Strive for biblical unity, okay? And when I say biblical unity, I mean what unites you guys is your common love for the Lord and the interest of the teenagers. Doesn't have to be that you like the same sports team or you're the same age even or anything like that. Strive for biblical unity, because if you just frankly don't get along, you're not going to, that'll kill the momentum right there. And that's really important. That's one of the things that we stress. We had a youth meeting back in September with all of our student ministry leaders, and we spent a good deal of time talking from Ephesians chapter 4 about unity and hey, we're a team, we've come together for a purpose, all right?